Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
Praise the Lord. That gave me goosebumps. That was awesome. Praise the name of the Lord. Man, God is good, isn't he? Sometimes you just don't know what to say. You just want to just close your eyes and raise your hand and just tell him how much you love him. Lord, I love you this morning. I love you. I love you. What a good God. He is my God. And as for me and this house, we will serve this God. Amen? I'd like you to turn with me to 1 Timothy. I'm going to be reading from the 4th chapter. And I want to embark this evening on giving you some guidance and some direction as to where we're going. And we've set September 12th, the evening service, as our, I don't know, maybe Janet's given it a name, Contact Power, Power. I think Wongeman had it the Thrilla in Zilla last year, but I don't know what it'll be this year. But anyway, our special service that we're going to be asking God to move in a powerful way will be on September 12th in the evening service, and we'll be preparing up until that time to receive what God has in store for us. And so a couple of things I want to encourage you in is if you have an ongoing situation in your life and a spiritual mountain you can't get over or a wall you can't get through, or there's something significant spiritually you want God to do in your life, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that would be a very good evening to ask God to do that. But in preparation for that, I'm going to give you some instruction in this morning's message and in the coming Sunday services to encourage you to be ready if you want to participate in that service. If you want to receive a special move of God in your life, it's not that we have to set aside a special day. It's just that's the way we do it around here. It should be every Sunday when you come to the house of God, you should be getting something from the Lord to encourage your walk in Him and your growth in the Spirit. And so we set aside a couple of times a year to have a very special service where we focus on prayer and hearing from the Lord, asking the Lord to give us a manifestation of His Spirit where He speaks to our hearts, maybe even give you a personal word for your life. If you have any kind of need, we'll be discussing that through this message. But I wanted to call our church to prayer and fasting from this Sunday forward. You can fast any way you want to. You can do a Daniel's fast for a day or two, or you can just all-out, bold-faced, starve yourself for a day or two or whatever. But I would like to call you and ask that the Lord prompt you to do some fasting and prayer prior to September 12th so that we have that service saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I'll explain some other things as we go through this message this morning, but it will set the tone and the success of that service in several ways. One, on your personal level. Two, on other people's level. Three, on a church level. And I'm going to go so far as to say something else, which I want to preface this message with this morning. There's a fourth level I'm asking us to be in prayer and fasting about that I think we are overlooking as a church, as a movement, as Christian people, whatever labels we want to put on ourselves. What we don't realize is, we realize it, but we don't always take it as seriously because it doesn't always directly affect us. But we are in a spiritual warfare, ladies and gentlemen. If you have not come to this conclusion yet by this morning, let me just slap you upside the head here and awaken you. The problem with American people is we think these things cannot happen to us because we're the great America. But frankly, we're in a spiritual warfare and have been in one for several decades and not recognized it for what it is. Now there is an awakening. And I want to participate in that awakening. We are in a spiritual warfare against Islam and the spirit behind fanatical Islam. Are you with me? We need to be more vocal about it. We need to be more aggressive about it. And I'm thinking we need to be highly supportive of those that are on the front lines fighting this battle for us. One of the things that I have committed myself to do in my own spirit is to pray consistently against the spirit behind radical Islam. Now, I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to make a bold statement, and if you're an Islam or Muslim here this morning, welcome. God bless you if you are. But I'm going to make a bold statement, and I'm going to say this. According to the Quran, they're considered their, quote, holy scriptures. The potential is for any Muslim to become a radical Muslim. If you read what the Quran says, we are to be subjugated to Islam. They will not be satisfied until they have world domination and that everyone on the world is converted. Did you know that? Now you know why these people are fanatical. And then yet when you add a violent element to that, you get the towers blown up by airplanes flying into it. You get the coal bombed on the side. You get the barracks in Beirut bombed by suicide bombs. These are people who are committed. Are you committed this morning to the spiritual warfare that we are in and don't always... We may be the reserves in the back of the front line, but we better get in the front line a little bit here, because I'm going to tell you something. We are facing some issues that are really going to need some heavy... spiritual intercession. And you may look at me like I'm there's a quacked out, freaked out pastor. He's gone nuts. First he tells us to start packing away beans and canned food and getting out of debt and freeing yourself from the system as much as possible. He's really jumped off the deep end. But I heard a great message this morning from our pastor at the Assembly of God over in wherever he's at. I never keep up with that, but I like what he says. And He preached a message this morning, and I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but this whole issue about a mosque being built at Ground Zero, is, folks, you and I need to get real serious about praying against this, because what that is actually a military and a political statement. It has nothing to do with freedom of religion. They're using the Constitution of the United States against the United States, because everywhere they have conquered, whether in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem, or in any other place where the Muslims have conquered, they have always built a mosque on the grounds of where they've conquered. In Jerusalem, you have right on the Temple Mount, you have a mosque built there. The reason being is that they can have a call to prayer 5 times a day in the face of those who they have conquered. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so what we're facing is not an issue of religious freedom to build a mosque. There's many mosques in New York. But this one is a political statement and a spiritual statement as well. And so I'm ready to fight a little bit. I used to fight quite a bit in when I was in high school. That's why my nose is as big as it is and as crooked as it is, because I didn't always win. But I did fight and was not afraid to fight, and I'm not afraid to fight now. But I think we should fight first and foremost in the spiritual level first. And so I'm calling us on that fourth level to being prepared on September 12th. We will have a portion of that service, a time when we unify in a unified manner, pray against the spirit. You see, Islam is not a problem. It is the spirit behind Islam that we want to come against. And the people, they're just pawns in the hands of that spirit. And I don't mind telling you that I'm a pawn in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And I like that. And so I'm calling this church to action, asking you to participate. Don't do it like, hey, I'm excited about this because Pastor whipped this up this morning. I want this to be a consistent, ongoing assault on the spirit behind Islam that wants to do away with Christianity and subjugate Christians. So I think that's an important part also of where we're going for this special service. But now let me direct your attention, after that being said and that being an encouragement to you to join us, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in the church, every one of us, took what I said seriously and started fasting and praying like Pastor asks and calls us to, and see what kind of power is resident on September 12th. when the Holy Spirit has saturated our hearts first with preparation and an anointing. And then when we gather together in His presence, anticipating a miracle from God or a word from God or something in your life that you want God to deal with, expecting and anticipating and receiving that night what God has for us. Are you still with me? Praise the Lord. In the fourth chapter of 1 Timothy, I want to read the warning for you, and then I want to read the encouraging part. I always like the warnings because I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of Christian that appreciates correction. I don't appreciate it from you, and you don't appreciate it always from me. Let's be real honest here. But I appreciate it, and sometimes God uses people in the church and other people outside the church and stuff. But I appreciate it when the Holy Spirit corrects me, challenges me, moves on me, and tells me, hey, this is something you need to correct in your life. I like that kind of warnings that He gives you and correction that He gives you. And it tells me that the Lord loves me. Isn't that what Paul said? That those children that He loves, He corrects and He chastises, I think is the proper word that He uses. Have anybody been chastised? Not by your dad, but by the Holy Spirit. Has anyone ever experienced that? I have. I'll be just straight up honest with you. There are times when I know you look at me and you think, well, there's a perfect guy. Well, you're wrong because I'm not perfect, but I try to do what the Scripture says. I try to live by what I believe the Holy Spirit has taught me. And one of the things that I appreciate is that warning time that the Holy Spirit gives us. And it's not a time to fear. It's not a time to have anxiety over. It's a time to understand that God is trying to show you something that will make you better for Him to use and to move in your life and to do greater things. Because sometimes you make decisions that will take you down a road that will be filled with heartache. And it may be filled with good intentions. And it may be even a good road. But it's not the road the Lord wanted you on. And so, therefore, you go through all that stress and problem and trouble, and then you have to go back to the fork of the road and take it, right? Take the other road. So, that being said, let me share a little scripture with you. The first four verses are pretty interesting verses. It is a almost prophetic to our day. It's just amazing to me how contemporary the Bible is. You can read it at any time, any place in history, and find this pretty contemporary. Isn't that awesome about the Word of God? Are you still with me? Listen to what it says. Now the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. That stuns you, doesn't it? Doesn't that just strike you? It is one of those hit right to the heart. To just think or imagine somebody coming to know Christ, having their sins forgiven, their life renewed, transformed by the power of God, and then depart from the faith. You think that's just a philosophical statement? It's not. It's true. I've seen it in our own church. Giving heed to seducing spirits. Now you know why I'm talking about the spirit behind Islam and other movements of other spirits. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I could list some of the doctrines of devils for you this morning, but I don't have time to get in. I have another direction I want to go. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience, listen to this, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding people to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Amen. For it is what? Sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So don't be afraid to eat those enchiladas that we're going to be having after service this morning. Amen. I forgot to mention that. Some of you take those little things from Chris this morning but didn't read that top one about the enchilada dinner. It is a fundraising thing for the ladies, and I don't care if it's fundraising or not. It's worth every dime I spend on those enchiladas. And I like that. Now, that is kind of a warning. This whole book is intended by the Apostle Paul to be a mentoring letter to Timothy and to instruct him in spiritual things so that he will know how to conduct his ministry where he's at. I pastored Ephesus at a time, but at any rate, this letter is written to him, and it would be an excellent letter for young people to read. Young people that feel a call of God on their lives. And you know, it'd even be good for you older folks who felt like you had a call but never responded to it through your life. Hello? There are some of those that felt, man, God's calling me to Africa, and because I'm afraid of Africa, this can't be God. And so they ignore that. But it was really a genuine call, maybe to some kind of mission work or some kind of work. Didn't necessarily have to be Africa. Africa probably jumped in your mind because that was the one that you were afraid of the most. God sent me anywhere but Africa. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing, because you don't, it's the unknown thing. But there are a lot of people who rejected the call of God. And so this letter would be an excellent letter for people, young people that are starting out and feel a call of God on their lives. This would be a good instructive letter. Because if you ever go into any kind of leadership, you've got to have some understanding and some spiritual insight and spiritual discernment and all these kinds of things, which is what Paul is encouraging Timothy to understand. That there are going to be people that are going to leave the faith. Now, I have a policy of this, and you may not like this policy, especially if you're thinking about leaving the faith. I have this policy. Paul said something else that I think is a very instructional statement. He said, these people went out from us, left the faith, left us, because they were not of us. Now, that's a very powerful statement, very strong statement when you apply it, because otherwise, you can do the thing that a lot of pastors have done, and I've seen them burn themselves out and their ministries ruined, because they spent too much time doing this. But my policy is, if people don't want to come to this church, I am not going to go chase them down to come to this church. Amen. I think people should be spiritually attuned and spiritually mature enough to know, is this where God wants me? Then stay where God wants you. That we're not in competition for your soul. We're here to minister to your soul, to help you grow in the Lord, to draw closer to Christ, learn what your gifts are, operate in those gifts, let the Holy Spirit use. That's our desire. We're not here to build a monument of size of church. What we want is God's Holy Spirit to move and people to be affected and ministered to by the Holy Spirit himself. And so, if you don't want to come to this church, that's your prerogative, that's your choice, that's a wonderful thing. I mean, we'll be saddened, we'll give you a phone call or two, but I'm not coming to your house to beg you to come back to this church. I don't think Jesus ever did that. I don't think Paul ever did that. And I've seen every pastor that has done that burn themselves out, chasing people that aren't coming back anyway. Did that hurt your feelings? I hope not, because while you're here, we love you. We want you to be, we want the whole world to come to our church. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm telling you that if there are people who are leaving the faith, you're not going to change anything they do. They're going to do what they want to do. That's one of my irrefutable laws of life. People will do what they want to do. And if they want to leave, they're going to leave. And I think our problem is we're focusing on the back door instead of focusing on the front door. We need to focus on the people that are coming hungry for God, hungry for a touch of his spirit, hungry for God's move in their lives, hungry for God to speak to their spirit, draw close to him and know him in a deep and intimate and powerful and personal and ongoing upward growing experience with him. That's what we should be focusing on, encouraging everybody to do that. But we waste our time focusing on those that are leaving us and not focusing on those who are hungry for God and make an opportunity for them to experience God in a powerful way. Did I offend any visitors here this morning? I apologize for that. You can go on my Facebook account and it'll tell you I'm sorry. But I don't have a Facebook account. Praise God. God is good. Now, I want you to jump down with me, because I think that's important for context's sake to read those first few verses. They're very important. And you can read the other ones. It's talking about doctrine. It's talking about being faithful to the doctrine and not to fables and wives' tales and things like that. But I wanted to jump down to verse number 12, because this is also a mentoring section. Well, it all is, but this is another one I wanted to focus on from the 12th verse to the end of the chapter. Let no man despise thy youth. This is good instruction to you young people here this morning. It wouldn't be bad to instruct some of you older ones with this as well, but let no man despise thy youth. And there's a reason for that, and I'll just kind of allude to that in a moment. But be thou an example of the believers. Now, that is the key mentoring statement. And how? In word, in conversation, in charity, love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and to doctrine. I don't know if you realize this. You probably don't even realize this happened to you. But if you've been attending a church here any length of time, I actually did this to you, and you did not really even know that I did it. But I preached several sermons that were inspired by this latter portion of Scripture, and I did that. I started preaching a little bit about reading and educating yourself and investing in yourself. Do you remember that sermon? Does anybody remember those words at all? And you started reading new Mad magazines and comic books, I think, to kind of invest in yourself. But I was really kind of encouraging you to read something that will stimulate your brain and get it growing a little bit, and some of those neurons and stuff firing in your brain and getting you to expand your vision a little bit, because the narrower your vision, the narrower God is able to use you. You understand what I'm saying? If you're only experiencing a little bit, that's all that God can use you for. That's why it's good for you to expand. In fact, it's good for you to know the tactics of your enemy. It's good for you to know the philosophies of other religions. It's good for you to know the teachings and tenets of other things like that, so that you can be prepared, so that you can expand your vision to realize, how do we preach the gospel to the whole world? Then God can use you to preach the gospel to the whole world. Are you still with me? And so I emphasize that a bit. And so Paul is saying, hey, until I get there, this is what you need to do. And one of us, start reading. Read a little bit. Read other people's opinion. Read other people's ideas. Because, you know, if you just get one person's idea all the time, you'll be narrow in your vision. To exhortation. And what's that mean? Exhorting, telling people what you've learned, what God has shown you, and all of that. And then, of course, to doctrine, which is the pure teachings of the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you never get this, of all the years you've attended this church, if you never get anything out of the preaching that I've ever preached you, the word I've ever shared with you, get this. This word of God has doctrines and principles and precepts. And if you follow them in your life, you will be highly successful as an individual. You will be tremendously successful in this world. You may never have a dime to your name. That's not what I'm saying. But as a person, you will be highly successful and favored of God. And oh, by the way, God blesses those that he favors. So there may be bounty and blessings that literally follow that. But if you expect those things, God really probably won't give them to you. But listen to what he says in verse 14. Neglect not, and this is very, very, very important. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Have you ever seen that happen in this church? Have you ever seen people lay hands on people? Not like this. Like this. You follow? Lay hands and prayer. And sometimes a prophecy or a word of God comes forth. I'm believing God that on September 12th, God is going to speak to a lot of people's hearts. Going to give a word to them, a prophecy or a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. God is going to do that, and I'm looking forward to how God uses people to do that. People that are gifted in that area is going to be an awesome opportunity for you to receive and for people to do that. But what a wonderful thing that is when God really sets something solid in your life that's going to be there for the rest of your life. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can place things in your life that will be there for the rest of your life? Paul says that the calling of God is without repentance. You can't get away from the calling of God. Once God called, you're a called person. Whether you obey him or not, that's your issue. But when you're called, you can't get away from that. God has called you, and who would want to get away from that? I would want God to use me in any way he could. But the wonderful thing about it is that God, many times when you're a young person, God will speak that into your lives. I don't know how many people and ministers I've talked to that felt like God spoke to them when they were a young person, and that God put this on their heart when they were young. And it wasn't until they were adults that it began to to make sense and begin to flourish in their life and begin to come to pass in their lives. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever experienced that perhaps? It's a wonderful thing. But I'm going to tell you something. People who do not pursue God never really get called of God. Hello? If you're not hungry for God, why would God want to mess with you? You're certainly not of any value to the ministry, or you're valuable to the kingdom, but if God's going to call people, he's going to call people with a hungry heart, a desire to know God, to do what God wants, that remembers the hour that he touched their spirit and he sparked life into them. How many of you have experienced that? Know what I'm talking about? Powerful stuff, life-changing, life-sustaining. It's the kind of thing that God speaks into your life that causes you to be faithful to God for the rest of your life, because it is the most important thing that God has done in your life, and it plays out in lots of areas, family and ministry and all kinds of things, church attendance and faithfulness to God and ministries and all those kinds of things. It plays out in a lot of ways. But these are the people that when you go to a church, say in 1988, and then you come back to that church in 2008, those same people are there in that church, and they're not just attending the church, they're still excited about Jesus Christ as if they had just received him that week. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the pillars of the church. That's the people that are the ones that carry the load of the church. Those people are the ones that God is going to give more than rubies in their crowns. Let me tell you what. God's got great mansions for those people who sustain the work of God with their faithfulness, their enthusiasm, their excitement. And when you meet them 20 years later, you realize these people are deep. They're more mature. They're excited about Christ in deep ways. That's the kind of calling we're talking about. And that's what Paul is encouraging Timothy to understand. And I'm reading this to you in effort to bring you to a place to realize that every Christian, every person that ever asks Jesus into their lives, every one of them are really called and don't know it. It's not always until you know, have a beam of light come ripping out of the clouds in the middle of the night and suddenly there's a halo around you and people paint a picture of you with a halo. You've seen them in the books, have you? You know, they're real pious and the halo's on. It's not always one of those, theophanies that you experience or some great, awakening that happens in your life. Every Christian is usable by God. Now, whether you get that special calling that I referred to a moment ago or not, you are still called to be a faithful Christian. You're still called to walk in the precepts and the teachings and the light of the Lord. You're still called to be as best an example. An example. We have good examples and we have poor examples. Paul's encouraging Timothy, listen, don't let anybody despise you. Now, let's be real honest. Older people have a tough time with younger people. You want me to explain that? Let me tell you why. These old saints that have been Christians 50 years have a tough time some 20-year-old punk coming in and speaking and preaching and that kind of thing and telling them what to do. They have a tough time because they've probably got 10 times the experience that guy's got anyway. So a real mature Christian, of course, smiles and still stays faithful to Christ and they wait for that poor preacher to grow up and mature, kind of like me. I haven't arrived yet. I still haven't matured enough yet to be the pastor of this church, but I've been here that long time. Anyway, my whole point being, it's no different. Every generation has a tough time with the next generation trying to lead them in spiritual things that they already know about. Amen? And so the difficulty is recognized by Paul because he doesn't want these saints that have experience to reject Timothy's leadership. And so he says, be careful not to let them despise. Well, how would you prevent an elderly person, older than you person, from becoming resentful of you if you were anointed of God, huh? And God's using that young person that young pastor in a powerful way. And how would that young pastor prevent the older people of the congregation from becoming resentful? Because that resentment would cause a dampening of the move of God's Spirit. Are you still with me? And so, consequently, Paul's encouraging him, listen, be a good example. Be the best example of a Christian you can possibly be. And you'll start to dispel some of that rejection or that resentment. And then, and beyond that, teach the truth. Live the truth. Teach the truth. Prepare yourself. Educate yourself. Invest in yourself so that people will respect what they see God doing in your life. That's true for everybody. Amen? But especially a young person who would be the wisest person on the planet if they took this advice. Because then the adults, the older, would get behind and encourage and help and so forth. So Paul sends this letter. And why do I ask us to look at this so lengthily this morning? Listen to what he says. Neglect not that gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the presbytery and the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Or prophecy is given me and laying on of, by the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself completely, totally, wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. That's how you begin to show maturity. That's how you help older folks that are more experienced to respect your walk with Christ. Take heed unto yourself. Be careful, Timothy. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine. It is all important. The doctrine, what we believe, is all important. Continue in them. Don't forsake them. Live them. Walk them. Breathe them. For to do this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now you know my motivation. My motivation in sharing anything in the, from this pulpit is to save myself and as many of you who listen to me and follow me. I one time, long time ago, 20 some odd years ago, I told our church when we were in the first phase over there, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to take as many of you with me. Even if you don't want to go, I'm going to drag you if I have to into heaven. And that's always been my goal, to save myself and to see you saved, see you get there also. And so the doctrine is all important. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to be aware, understand these things, and be a student of these things, because they are for your personal benefit as well as those that you are leading and preaching to and ministering to. My concern is this, is that the call for Timothy to stir up the gift in his life, which my understanding or my guess is that there was something about wisdom and knowledge that was a part of that gifting process. And that's why he directs his instructions in those directions, reading and exhortation and the doctrine, all those things. My guess is that he was adept at understanding spiritual principles. And so when Paul says, man, whatever that gift is, stir it up. Why? Because it is the gift that is going to sustain you when older people resent your youth, when other people don't cooperate with your ministry, when people leave the faith from your church. Those kinds, you're going to need that gift to sustain you. And I'm going to make a bold statement here this morning and say, I think every one of you have a gift. And that gift has sustained you. There have been times when you've walked through the fire. And it's that calling, that gift, that anointing that God has placed on your life that has sustained you through those difficult times. And especially if it had something to do with ministry. Now, I know most of you don't believe that there are ever any problems for ministers. But the truth of the matter is, they have double problems. They have their problems, and they've got your problems. And so when they go to prayer, their prayer is not always, God, I need this. It's always, God bless this person. God minister. God do this in this person's life in the church. And then if you got time, after about 3 hours of prayer, you ask God about your own personal needs, because you've got those also. But what sustains you through those difficult times, those burdenous times, those tough times? It's the calling. It's the gift. It's the touch of God in your life. I'm contending that on September 12th, that God is calling you to stir up the gift that's in you. There's going to be opportunities in that service that's coming up, and I'm going to give you 5 quick points, as quick as I can give them to you in a moment, of what you need to do in preparation. But I think God wants to use you. I think God has called you, wants to open an opportunity under the direction of the pastor, of course. Under the authority of the leadership of the church, of course. If there's a calling in your life that has you at odds with the pastor, there's something wrong with your calling. Because God doesn't call one man to do one thing and one man to do the opposite. He calls us, and our gifts should be perfectly fitted together. Amen? I mean, I don't operate in all the gifts. There's some I others that I've allowed others to take the preeminence in and be used of God the most. It's not that I can't operate, though. I can operate in any one of these gifts. But I like to see other people's gifts developed and grow. And I'm thinking that God is preparing us for a special move of His Spirit. A special move of God. You need a special move of God in your life. And I'm going to tell you, this is the hour for it. This is the time for it. And I don't want to keep this going on too long and bore you till you conk out on me. But I want you to understand something very important. You're not living in just a mundane time in history. You're living in the hour in which Jesus Christ could very easily step out onto the clouds of glory, command the angel to blast his trumpet, and the dead in Christ rise, and then you and I that are ready and prepared rise to meet him. We're on the precipice of that moment. If I did not believe that with all of my heart, I would not say that. And I don't say that to frighten anybody into a decision of any kind. I think that's the poorest decision. The poorest Christians that have ever lived have been people who've accepted Christ under fearful conditions, scared of going to hell, scared of dying, whatever. Those are the worst conditions to make that decision in. It's survival mode rather than God's love being poured into your life and your appreciation for His forgiveness and His mercy. Oh, don't get me wrong. I believe in deathbed conversions. I believe in automobile wreck conversions. I believe in all of those kinds of things. But they don't make good Christians in the long run because they're under fear and condemnation all the time. When Jesus Christ did not come to condemn anybody, but that the lost, anybody, that all might be saved, that believe in Him and trust in Him. Let me give you 5 quick points that we need to prepare for this service in, because I think periodically we have these services, and you may wonder, why don't we have these services every Sunday night? Well, because it would wear me out, and I'm just not going to do it. That's the first point. Second point is, I don't want it to become so commonplace that it is not special. Are you still with me? I want God's Holy Spirit to be revered and respected and appreciated and welcomed and understood that this is an opportunity for God's Holy Spirit to do something special. The intent is for God to be something. I want to have my heart ready for God to do something special, and that's what I want to talk about. I don't want it to be a common thing. I don't want it to be, we have one every other Thursday night. We're having a blowout in Zilla. That's not what these services are intended to do. This special service is intended to do something special in your life. Do you need a word from God? Do you need God to speak to you? Is your struggle and your battle and your fight for Christ and your walk with Christ at a place where you need God to give you some clear instruction? You need God to speak to your heart in a deep way, but in a clear way. That's why we have these services, is so that you can stand. We'll be praying for you, whatever, or you don't even need us to pray for you. You can be standing in the line or sitting in the seat, and God can do what you need Him to do. But the focus is that we're going to have an opportunity to pray for you and to minister to you. Now, that doesn't mean just pray for you. That means minister to you. God may give us a word to give you or something of that nature, but that's what we're looking for, God to have His way doing that. But we need to be prepared for that, and the fasting and praying is a good part of that. Here's the 5 points, and I think I can still get us in and out of here by 12:30 and straight to the enchilada line. Amen? Okay, first of all and foremost, if God is God and God has given us these promises in His Word, that when we seek Him, He can be found. When we thirst for Him, we can be quenched. When we hunger for Him, He will satisfy. If these things are true, then we must also realize that we must prepare ourselves. That's the first point. Prepare yourself. I've called you to prayer. I've called you to fast. I've called you to be intent about those 4 areas that I've talked about. And I've given you that call to do so. But now you have to respond to that. You have to prepare yourself. You've got to ready your faith, your attitude, receptibility, for lack of a better word. You've got to prepare yourself, first of all, for other people. Are you with me? I know we're going to be prepared. That's what these 5 points are about, is preparation. But first of all, you need to be prepared for other people. You see, if you have a gift, then God wants to use that gift. It's not just for you, it's for other people. And let me tell you something. If we come to that service prayed up, fasted up, and ready and receptive, anticipating, we will come. It will create the atmosphere and the opportunity for other people to be blessed and touched. Are you with me? One of the greatest principles I learned a long time ago is God blesses you when you're not thinking about yourself and you're trying to bless other people. God blesses you because you're not selfish. You're thinking, I'm doing this, not just for myself, but so that other people, maybe there'll be someone who doesn't know Christ that comes to that service, that hears that God's going to be moving that night and there's going to be a great move of God there, and they come looking for God. Wouldn't it be awesome that the atmosphere is so charged with the Holy Spirit that when they walk through the door, they fall on their knees and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them and come into their life as a Lord? Would that not be the most awesome thing going on? How awesome would that be? It would be great. It would be powerful. And I think that's one of the main reasons we should get ourselves ready so first of all, other people can benefit for our readiness. Because that's an awesome principle in the Scripture. And I like that principle because I've seen it work in my life in a personal way. But, I mean, we need to be ready daily, obviously, and our faith needs to be in tune with God and ready to operate. But this is a special focus, a special attention to this need so that other people might receive. I'm praying for God to save souls, sanctify, fill them with the Holy Ghost, all those kinds of things. Amen? Baptize them in the Holy Spirit. Second thing. We need to be ready for the Holy Spirit, not our spirit, to move. Be ready. What I mean by that? Well, the Holy Spirit has already moved this morning. Did you sense Him? Did you feel the power? If you heard that special song, and you did, that I got goosebumps. That was awesome. Older songs we used to sing a lot of times. That just ring because the message never dies and the anointing never dies on those songs. I'm just telling you. And just minister. I'm sorry, I had my head kind of bowed and I was singing along with her. I hope I didn't throw her off key or anything like that. But I was just singing because I remember those songs and I remember the meaning. I remember the impact. And I remember the times when I needed God to lead me. And I sang those songs because I needed God to lead me. That's what we're talking about. We come to the house of God in readiness and prepared to instantly, the minute you walk through the door, recognize that the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, ready to minister, ready to move, ready to touch your life. If you come with that anticipation, you'll have no problem sensing the Holy Spirit, sensing the presence of the Lord. You'll have no problem doing that. You'll instantly begin to sense that we're here anticipating God doing something. We're readying ourselves. We're readying it so that other people can be blessed. But we're also readying it so that the Holy Spirit will not have His hand tied. What am I talking about? Don't quench the Spirit. You know how you quench the Spirit? You know how to do that? Come to a service and sit down and criticize everything that's going on in the service. Huh? Music's too loud. Folks, let me warn you in advance. We're going to have loud music. I serve the Lord loud. Not everybody likes that. I understand that. We try to be sensitive, so we crank it up a little louder. That's how sensitive we are. Because we figure if you didn't like it at this level, you're not going to like it at this level, but when we go back to this level, you'll like it. Did you get that? Should I repeat that? Or you kind of, so we have a science. But we came for God's Spirit to move, not just to rock the house down, but we're anticipating the Holy Spirit because we depend on Him and we want to be ready to be used. We want to be in that position where we not only sense His presence, but we're depending on Him to take charge and to minister that. And what a wonderful opportunity. Third thing, we would need to be ready to receive. I think you almost have to get a mindset for that. How many times do you come to the house of God and you go through all the stuff that goes on in the service and never really received anything? The first thing you said was, well, the music's too loud. The offering took too long. The pastor certainly spoke way too long. The guy's the boringest dude I've ever seen anyway. And we begin to criticize. And we never opened up to receive what God was shoveling out there to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? And so the difficulty is for us to come with an attitude of receiving. You know, God might just want to do something, but God might just have a blessing ready for you. You know what? I think it would be real good for some of those that have been in Christ, you know, even been to this church as long as it's been alive. It would be good for some of you charter members to dance in the Spirit and just scare everybody else. Amen? It'd be good for me, some of these older saints, they've got experience. They know how to do it better than I do. But let the Holy Spirit just, wouldn't that be awesome? Come into the house of God, and we've got the saints of old, older saints. And I got to include myself. I'm still on the seniors menu. It's pretty cool, actually. at Denny's, that's pretty cool. Anyway, wouldn't it be awesome for them to lead us in letting the Holy Spirit? I know that scares the fire out of a lot of you people, because some of you haven't seen a whole lot of that happen genuinely in the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit does that. I remember the Old Testament, David dancing down the street when the ark was coming home. I was reminded Saturday even, made his wife mad. See, that's not what we want. We don't want a division in the home. We want a unity in the home. So you need to come with an attitude to receive for yourself, but also for other people. So that the Lord, these are the things I think you need to be expecting to receive. A word from the Lord. God to speak to you personally. Now, how does God speak to people? How does God? Well, he puts thoughts and ideas in your spirit. And it sounds just like you talking to yourself. Did you know that's what the Holy Spirit's voice sounds like? Did you know that? Am I the only one that knew that? Am I the only one the Holy Spirit speaks to? His lights are kind of bright. I didn't see any hands. But did you know when the Holy Spirit speaks, it sounds just like your voice? Huh? When you think in your voice. Did you know that? Okay, try this experiment. Think for a second. Yeah, that was me. You know what I mean? But when the Holy Spirit impresses you in your mind, he puts thoughts in your mind and he speaks to your spirit. You hear it in your own voice. But the content of what it's about tells you who it is that's speaking. And the effect it has in your heart and in your soul and your spirit proves that it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And one of the things the Holy Spirit, I know, just give you an example, he loves to do. He loves to tell you things about yourself that only you know about. Why? Because you know that only God would know. So many times he will speak to your spirit and he will tell you things about you so that you, one, will accept what he's about to say, but two, that you would receive it, not just accept it's from God, but receive it as God speaking it into your life. Assimilate that. Let it come in. Let the word come into your life and let it do the kind of changing it needs to change and securing and anchoring it needs to do. That's how the Holy Spirit. Some of you have heard from God, thought it was just, that's just my thinking. No, it was not your thinking. It was just your voice. He's speaking to you, and you can tell because he's telling you to do better, get better, be better, love God, be like Jesus. That's what he tells you to do. But oftentimes he gets very specific and he'll tell you something about yourself, sometimes good, sometimes bad, sometimes in between, for the purpose of helping you know that it's God and accept what he's about to say and receive what he's about to say and change with what comes into your life. Amen? Because much of your miracle depends on you, not the Holy Spirit. Are you still with me? Much of your miracle depends on whether you will receive it, whether you'll continue to walk in it, because some of the things God's Holy Spirit tells you don't happen instantly. Oh, he'll give you the assurance, he'll touch your life, you'll feel his power, but that's only to confirm that what he said is going to take place if you will walk in it. Right. If you will receive it and live it out and anticipate it and walk toward that goal. And the closer you get to the goal, the more you realize God was just, that man that night was God. It wasn't the pastor, it wasn't the church God, it wasn't the Christian world, it was God met me at that little house down there on Chain Road. Still with me? I'm going to stop asking you that. I'm just going to keep going even if you're not with me. And the fourth thing you need to be ready for other people, ready for the Holy Spirit, ready to receive for yourself. Fourth thing, you need to be ready to minister. Some of you are going to be asked to do things during that service. Now, don't go into a panic. Oh, dear God, pastor's going to call me out and embarrass me. I don't do that, and the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. In fact, if you are embarrassed, just say, pastor, I'm not comfortable with that, and that'll be fine with me. But if I call you to come help me pray for somebody, because I know your life experience has experience that can help another person, I'll call you to come and help me pray. We may have so many people that we'll have to have two lines again, but the point is, I may ask somebody here this morning to help me pray for someone because I know what you've gone through, and you made it. You know how I know you made it? You know how I know you've made it through your trials? You know how I know that? It's not hard to see. You're here. People who haven't made it or are not in the process of making it don't go to church. It's true. You're here. And you've been here several weeks. Some of you have been here years. Some of you, and that's proof that you're overcoming. Oh, you're not perfect, but you're proof that you are succeeding. So your experience is necessary, and your gift is necessary. So under that direction, I may call upon you to do that, but I want you to use the gift that God has put in you. And sometimes those gifts are anointed gifts that God gives you as you receive the baptism or something like that, but sometimes there are gifts that you learn. Did you know that? Not all gifts are just come from the anointing. They become anointed later. God uses you, but sometimes you learn things because, I mean, you have gifts because you learn them. There are some gifts I just don't have. I can't draw. I can barely plunk the chords on a guitar only because they write them down what they are. That's how proficient I am. If they put down the wrong letter, I don't care. I go to the wrong letter. That's how well I play. And then I get my fingers tied in a knot and can't get some of those chords out, but I do that. Some of you have those kind of talents that are already there. Some of you have learned them. Somebody applied your educational brain and you learned some of those things. And sometimes going to church teaches you things that you didn't even realize you were learning. And it was the Holy Spirit teaching you, but you learned them. They weren't innately put there as the Spirit transformation took place. But there are things that you, going to church teaches you certain skills. Amen? It's almost time to quit. Don't leave. Isn't that interesting? We always want to assign, and eventually it all goes back to God, the glory. But God gave us the capacity to expand our ability. He gave us it's called a brain. And you can expand that knowledge. You can expand your experience. You can expand your abilities with knowledge. I'm not a great mechanic, but I have watched mechanics and I've learned how to do some things. I wouldn't work on your car because we don't know how successful that would be. But I've watched and I've observed mechanics. So there's some things I can do. I know how to change a tire, change my oil. I know some of those things by observation. And in church is no different. You watch people, how they deal with one another, how concerned they are, how compassionate they are, how they pray for people, how God answers prayer. Are you still with me? Are these things even important to you? Okay. Because it will bring edification to the church. When you minister to other people, it edifies the whole. The fifth thing, the last thing, is to focus on the goal. God has a purpose for this. He has a reason for this. There are some of you that God is going to lay his hand on in a way that you've never experienced before. And so don't be afraid of that. The Holy Spirit never, ever harms anyone. And he's not a person to be feared. But he has a goal in mind. He has a reason for touching you and ministering to you to fulfill whatever Jesus wants in your life. So he may want to draw you close to him. He may want to equip you for a special service, a special thing to do. He may want to ready, and I think this is for everybody, he may want to ready us for some extreme situations. And when I say these things, you know, every prophet is always scorned in his own home. But I'm prophesying to you, you need to get ready for some extreme situations. And I believe part of that will be on the 12th of September, you will be readying yourself for some extreme situations, getting your heart and your walk with God right where he wants it. And the other thing, the last thing I'm going to involve you in is the thing I always warn people about, and we'll close with this thought. If you've got the courage, and this is not a manipulation, I hope you understand that, But if you have the courage to follow my instructions and to commit yourself to this prayer and fasting and intercessory prayer, you are going to stir up a gift that God has in you, but there's something else you're going to stir up. You're going to stir up the enemy. You're going to make him mad. You see, he likes it when you come to the house of God and just sit there. He loves that. He loves you even to come and nod your head, yeah, and even raise your hand. Pastor, yeah, amen. He likes you to do that. As long as you don't do anything when you get outside this church. Are you with me? So when we do things that are going to affect outside this church, because see, when we pray on September 12th, we're going to pray for God's anointing on you to be effective out there. You know, if a Muslim will strap a bomb to his body and walk in a crowd and blow himself up, us sharing our faith or ministering to other people is the least we can do to show our commitment to Christ. One of the things that prevents us many times from doing the things God wants us to do is we're afraid of what people may say about us. Let me tell you what people say about you. They say you're a hypocrite. They say that Christianity is just full of hypocrites, that there's nothing real about your religion. It's just another one of those ancient religions people serve and follow. Folks, we don't have a whole lot of ceremony here to follow. What we want is the power of God, because things happen when God's power moves. But when it does, we're able to reclaim the territory the enemy has staked his claim in. The devil would love nothing more than to have Zilla in his grip. Amen? And it requires all of us to be unified in this whole idea, but it's going to stir the devil up. So part of your preparation and your surrender to the Holy Spirit better be, God, you protect us. You build a hedge of protection around us. I pray that prayer for a lot of people. Build a hedge of protection so these darts cannot penetrate, so that we will sustain this glow that you've given us and this blessing that you've given our lives, this gift. But the enemy is going to attack, and he's going to fight us. And the enemy, I think, of Christianity is going to rise up against us. If you rile up the spirit of Islam, guess what's going to happen? That spirit is going to get mad at us. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Those of you that intercede for other people know what I'm saying. You have to, you know, when people intercede for one another, you know what they first combat? They first combat the spirit that's behind many of these things. Not everything that happens to people is a spirit, by the way. But there are spirits that prompt and encourage and inspire people to do bad things or whatever. But we have the power. Greater is he that's in us. We have the authority in God's name to come against these things. So when the enemy attacks, we have the ability to defeat him. The problem is Christians get scared and they don't use that authority. I'm counting on you to be courageous enough to believe God can use you in a way you've never been used before, and that the power of God, young or old, young person or old, doesn't make any difference to me. When God was moving in my life, I was an 18-year-old kid. And by the way, nobody respected my youth. But they did begin to see the power of God change me. And they began to respect that anointing. Not necessarily me till I grew up and was smart enough, mature enough. But there are young people here tonight, this morning, that need to let God use them in ways they've never been used. Step out and let the gift that God has probably popped in your head once or twice and you just kind of shook it off. It might have been the calling of God, and you may have shaken off the real calling of God. Are you still with me? I want to conclude this service with a prayer, and I'd like you to stand with me at this point. We're just 2 minutes over, so you'll be okay. I know that they have much enchiladas. I saw them cooking it. It's a real thing. You don't have to go back there and eat enchiladas by faith. They really are there. Yeah, it's not one of those faith steps, and you hope that when you get back there, there'll be an enchilada. There are many enchiladas to eat. Praise God for that. God is the God of many, and there are many things back there. But I want you to pray with me this prayer. And I want you to pray it only if you can believe that. that God can use you, that God wants to use you. He wants to move through you. And He wants to do things in your life that you never imagined, never really gave much thought to. God wants to do that. If that interests you, it'll take courage. So I want to pray that we have that courage. Amen? Because the minute you walk outside this church, the enemy is already going to begin to try to cause you to doubt this, try to not, no, I don't want to get involved in that. And you'll wait till Friday night to fast and pray. Oh, Lord, it's almost the 12th. I'm going to have to fast. And so you won't eat that bag of chips, but you'll go ahead and eat dinner, right? You'll fast. Don't do that. Don't let the enemy steal what God wants to do. You need to prepare for that. So let's ask God to give us the courage to fight the enemy and to do what He's calling us to do. Father, right now, we've made some pretty bold statements about serving You and about believing You and trusting in You. And I'm just confident that the people of this church know how wacky and crazy we are enough to just launch out and believe You. We're going to do that again on September 12th, but we're believing You right now to help us prepare and be ready to fast and pray and get our hearts saturated with the anointing of the Holy Spirit and be ready for Your Holy Spirit to minister to us. And not everything is going to be fanfare and extravaganza. It's going to be some very deep spiritual move of Your Spirit. We want to see souls saved. We want to see people come to know Christ. We want to see people filled with Your Spirit, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Father, we want to see Your power flow like a river that we know it can. In preparation, help us to be prepared. Get ready for Your Holy Spirit to move with great, great power and flow in our midst. We'll give You praise. We'll give You honor. We'll glorify You. We know that we can do nothing. It's always God. It's only God. And so we give all credit to You, and we desire that Your Holy Spirit have His way. And we are welcoming the challenge. And the desire is to have that gift stirred in us so that You may be honored and glorified and Your people blessed and others come to know Christ. We pray that prayer in Jesus' name, and we ask You to bless the food that we share this afternoon and bless the ladies' ministry that's prepared this opportunity for fellowship. We ask it, of course, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now, look for opportunities this coming few weeks or couple weeks, because the opportunity is going to be yours to use your gift. Use it. Amen.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.